Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutun.
Welcome to Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. We begin the show with news that the federal court has decided it will hear the contempt of court proceedings against Malaysia Kini. This over readers' comments on its site that prosecutors claim undermined the judiciary. Now, the 7-judge panel ruled that Malaysia Kini had, in fact, facilitated the publication of the comments. So a contempt hearing will be held on July 13th. Now, if found guilty, Malaysia Kini and its editor-in-chief, Stephen Gunn, could be fined, but Stephen could also be facing jail time. And this is the first time in Malaysia Kini's 20-year history that it's being cited for contempt of court. Sharad, are you following the story?
Yes, indeed. I think a lot of people, especially in us within the media fraternity, are watching this with a lot of attention, because it has implications also for, you know, the work that we do and the kinds of interactivity that our platforms allow. You know, this case is also getting attention internationally, Melissa.
Right.
Allianz Journalist Indonesia, AJI, has put out a statement. Of course, there are no end of local groups that put out statements in support of Malaysia Kini, calling this an attack on press freedom.
Yes.
And talking about the chilling effect that this case will have on the ability of journalists to, in fact, create a kind of atmosphere, a democratic atmosphere for discussion in this country.
Particularly because this is about readers' comments, isn't it, Sharad? So readers of, say, an article who have decided to post a comment on a website, now, you know, news websites can be held liable for comments. And it's particularly interesting because, you know, you think about the sheer scale of how many thousands of comments come in on a daily basis. Are you thinking about, you know, having a moderator sift through all those comments?
Well, we know moderators exist, and of course, like, Facebook has moderators and pays,
sure,
moderators.
But they have, like, a war room of moderators.
They do, and, you know, and of course, the question is whether it's now become incumbent on such platforms to do so. In the past, you know, before the advent of the internet, Melissa, you know, people would write letters to the
editor,
newspaper,
yes,
editors,
and
that gets subbed, and if it was contentious, it might go to the legal department. Mm. Those filters no longer exist, right, in the kind of system that's fast-paced, and the volumes, as you mentioned, I think even in their submissions today, the lawyers from Malaysia Kini mentioned that 2,000 comments come,
oh, wow,
in daily. The question of the quality of those comments. Now, if you've done this work, and Melissa, have you actually had been tasked ever to go through comments coming through a portal?
No, I don't have the personality for it. I'm quite impatient, and I'm quite reactive in a sense. But I do read the comments, and I wonder, you know, you talked about the chilling effect, Sharad. I wonder if, you know, in the future, if publications are held liable for readers' comments, whether or not then they do away with that section, what that does as an avenue for expression, what that does as an avenue for engagement with readers, with an audience. Again, you know...
Yeah, Melissa, you know, because Malaysia Kini does have a kind of letter section.
I
think that gets edited.
Yes.
The comment section is slightly different, and the no end of really mindless comments. I mean, to put it mildly, mindless comments coming from readers. The question is, if you are a Democrat and you believe in free speech, then you actually say to yourself, you will have to allow a whole range of comments to come through, except perhaps those that are incite hatred or violence towards groups and so on, others and so on and so forth. And I believe that Malaysia Kini, in putting out its submissions today, said that they do have a mechanism to take comments down.
I also want to touch very briefly on a follow-up to a story that we discussed a couple of days ago. The Home Ministry has now banned the book Rebirth, Reformasi Resistance and Hope in New Malaysia. And we were discussing this over its controversial cover. According to the Home Minister, Datuk Sri Hamzah Zainuddin, the order was issued under the Printing Presses and Publications Order of 2020.
Melissa, of course, we also know that Home Ministers are not infallible.
Mm-hmm.
Other authors and publishers have taken the Home Minister to court. We've had reversals facilitated by the judiciary of this country, believing that the Home Minister was erroneous in putting a ban on a book or two in the past.
Right.
So that I think we need to be reminded of. This is not set in stone, because it can be reversed, and we have mechanisms for it. The other thing I think, Melissa, that needs to be asked is, what process, what due process went into this decision for the banning? Was it purely political?
Right. So whether it was just raised by a someone and then picked up by ministers. So you're absolutely right. It's gone quite quickly from, you know, the complaint to the banning of the book. I wonder what process was in that time.
Yeah, because we've had a raid on a bookstore. We have, and I believe this is happening today, the raid on the artist and her studio is also proceeding. And I think the hysteria around it, very interesting, Melissa, because this is not simply about the artwork. Remember, this was launched, the book was launched 7 months ago, and the artwork has actually been in existence for several years.
Yes.
And was in fact exhibited. So then the question is, why now? And perhaps that is not answered by looking at the art or looking at the content of the book. It's about the political context in which all this is happening.
But also the wider situation, we have, you know, people being questioned over tweets, over coverage of sensitive issues, over declassified reports of hospitals burning down. So
indeed,
take all of that into context.
Yeah,
I think
Melissa,
it's important.
Who defines what is sensitive?
Yes.
And what is the leeway for a democratic society, to the extent that we all agree we want to be a democratic society, mm-hmm. or are a democratic society? What leeway is there for differences of opinion?
Right.
And when it comes to the artwork, Melissa, I think, you know, what should have been done was a good critique of the artwork rather than an attempt to censor now not just the artwork, but also the contents of the book, which was an analysis of the last general election.
Sure, very quickly, since you mentioned artwork, I also want to point out that the U.S. Department of Justice is looking to recover another $96 million in assets in terms of real estate, but also artwork linked to 1MDB. So I don't want us to take our eyes off the 1MDB case just because we've got a lot of other things going on. I'm just going to quickly mention that the assets include paintings by Monet and also Andy Warhol, allegedly by 1MDB.
Yeah, Melissa,
funds.
You know, the 1MDB story is a story that keeps giving. And it's been giving Malaysia and the international press stories. The question people might ask is, why would 1MDB want to buy high art? I mean, this is Claude Monet, Andy Warhol, as you say, these are artworks worth millions of dollars. And because it might be that someone in 1MDB would like to have that painting on their walls. But apart from the art appreciation angle, Melissa, there are also these two things. High art, I mean, this class of art is actually a great store of value, and it's easily portable. And this is why high art is used for people to store value. You know, there are in fact facilities in several parts of the world where art is stored, not put on walls.
What a shame not to be put on walls, but to be, you know, kept in a dark vault somewhere. I also want to mention that, you know, high art or fine art as an investment in terms of transactions can be done privately and anonymously. So that's something else to consider. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, but in just a couple of minutes, we're going to come back and talk about Malaysian youth. What are the challenges that they're facing at this moment? We'll discuss on Consider This. Stay tuned.